Thank you very much for the introduction. So as Lord Willett said, I lead the Digital Health Programme at the Institute of Global Health Innovation, which is led by Lord Ara Darzi. And we've been working on this for the past 2 years. And the more work we do, the more complex that it gets. We're due to publish a white paper in February, so watch this space and we'll have some more information. So the English NHS collects a huge amount of data, and we do this year in, year out, and it holds one of the most comprehensive longitudinal patient data sets in the world. If properly utilised and connected, these data could have a significant impact on the quality and sustainability of care. However, the NHS does not currently have the resources and skills to capture the full value of its data. It's investing significantly in strengthening its own capabilities through endeavours such as the NHS Digital Academy. At the same time, it's also increasingly relying on partnerships with industry to extract utility from its data sets. These types of collaborations are a reality now and are bound to be part of the NHS's approach in the future, alongside the development of internal capability and the continued work with other organisations such as academia. For them to be successful and acceptable to the public, we need to be governed by a clear framework that robustly addresses questions of privacy, ethics, and security. The policy framework in the UK has been developing pretty rapidly over the past year or so, and this includes the publication of the Code of Conduct for Data-Driven Health and Care Technology, the proposed launch of the Centre of Expertise by the Office of Life Sciences, and also the creation of NHSX, which was earlier in the year in July. However, there still needs to be clarity on a strategy on how the NHS and its component organisations should share in the benefits that are generated from the data that it holds. This is very different from trying to maximise financial returns by selling off data, something which would be clearly very wrong and inappropriate and not supported by the public at all. Public attitude is crucial for any data exchanges in the NHS, and a series of surveys over the past several years indicate that the public holds mixed views about data sharing. However, I'm not going to go too far into it because Natalie's going to speak a bit more about this in the next talk. But certainly this gives rise to lots of different ethical issues. Data science opportunities in healthcare can pose pressing issues of equity, responsibility, and human rights. The UK Data Service has outlined a set of ethical issues that are intrinsic to data sharing, and these include privacy, informed consent, de-identification of data, inequality, and research integrity. All of these issues are interconnected, and addressing each is likely will help to mitigate the risk of the others. Things like GDPR, the Human Rights Act of 1998, and frameworks such as OECD recommendation of the Council on AI are there to protect personal data. However, it is uncertain if the nuances are fully appreciated in the healthcare context. So any further comprehensive framework that we have for data exchanges in healthcare must consider all these principles. I'm now going to go through a set of questions that will help try and answer some of the pressing issues in this. The first question is, why is it important to think about financial value in data sharing? Why is it not just enough to think, actually, we can extract utility in the clinical sense? Patient benefit needs to be the key priority for the NHS and the main reason for which to share data with partners. However, it's not the only type of return that the NHS can gain from this. NHS data, like all other public sector knowledge assets, can also deliver direct financial return, providing money for the taxpayer. In fact, there's a significant risk of a negative public reaction. For example, if NHS data contributed to the production of a new digital technology and the NHS is not fully compensated or sufficiently recognised for its input, there'd be a big outcry. This can again undermine the public's trust in the data sharing and calls again for the introduction of a more structured framework in any ways of value sharing. The crucial question, do we actually know how much this data is worth? Unfortunately, there are numerous challenges to actually accurately estimating the value of the NHS as an asset. We've worked with actuaries, with mergers and acquisitions partners, lots of different people, economists at the college, and actually, it's very, very difficult to try and work out the value of this. And this is a common problem with intangible assets, such as data and information. And ways do exist to estimate the value of intangible assets, and this is done in lots of other sectors. However, it's not always as easy to apply it to the NHS context. However, the UK Treasury has provided a useful reference point, and they've estimated that the value of public sector knowledge assets is approximately around £150 billion, and the potential return is at least £5 billion per annum. How much does it cost to create NHS data sets? A first step in estimating the value of the NHS data through a cost methodology would be to calculate the total annual costs of creating, collecting, curating, maintaining, and linking all of these data systems that are related to the management of data. This is across the continuum, and this is from frontline data collection to the storage and linking of it at national level. And this can take, this can be millions and millions of pounds per year. And one of the biggest costs is human capital, and this is something that is largely unaccounted for. As an example, as a clinician myself and all other health and care staff enter data directly into electronic health records. This is primarily done for direct clinical care, but again, all of this data, especially in the EHR formats, is now going to be the basis of national data sets. And if this is not accounted for in the creation of these data sets, then actually we're losing some of that value from it. So what can we do to improve data? So health and social care systems are in the UK are moving towards electronic records. However, there needs to be much more capital investment in terms of IT hardware and software to ensure that we're actually collecting machine-readable data at source. Systems and infrastructures have evolved across the NHS to varying degrees. There's a very wide spectrum of data quality, IT investment, timeliness of data, interoperability of data, and many, many different systems exist. There's theories that most healthcare providers have between 300 and over 1,000 systems, all with bespoke data structures, and most without data standards or adequate interfaces. Much of this NHS data is actually pretty fragmented. However, there is a possibility that it can be linked. So there's a lot more work that actually needs to be done to actually improve the data that we have. So the next question, how can the value be shared between the NHS and commercial partners? There's several value sharing mechanisms are available to the NHS. While the right one will vary depending on the specific circumstances of any partnership, it is critical that all relevant stakeholders and decision makers in the NHS are aware of what the options are. So we'll go through some of them, and hopefully these will come up. So these are some of the different options that are available to the NHS. As an example, you could get free or discounted access to any products developed from the data. As you've all probably heard of the DeepMind and Moorfields partnership, Moorfields have access to a clean data repository and have access to the product for free over the next 5 years. However, this raises questions such as, is this equitable for the rest of the NHS who has to pay for this product? And that was for the retinal images. Other examples include receiving a one-off payment in exchange for data access or a series of one-off payments based on regulatory or commercial milestones. You could receive a royalty payment or a share of the revenue from the products that are developed using the data. And then there's other options which include receiving a share of the profits of the company commercialising the data or receiving a share of the equity in the company commercialising the data. And another option is to receive a golden share in the company commercialising the data. So there's lots of different options here, but one of the crucial things is that actually we don't have the expertise in all these different NHS organisations who would know which deal to kind of would be the most appropriate for any partnership that they're entering. So selecting the most suitable option or combination of options will depend on several factors as well. And this includes the quality of the data, the type of the end product, the extent of the reliance on NHS data, and to see if there are any other comparative data sets that other countries hold that can be used instead of the NHS's data. And then also things such as what is the extent of the NHS's inventive contribution to this partnership, and how much work and cost will any commercial partner have to put in to invest to make this data useful. So remember, we're not collecting machine-readable data at source at present. Several factors might also limit the NHS's access to the most desirable options outlined. For example, the quality of the data, the contribution of the NHS beyond the sharing of the data, and also the appetite for the risk that is embedded in some of these options. In many cases where the NHS contribution justifies it, a combination of value sharing mechanisms is probably the most appropriate choice. So this will ensure that the NHS receives both a certain return, but also a share in the potential upside as well. How should this value be shared within the NHS? This is crucial to define who should receive the benefits of the data. Is it an individual NHS organisation who's actually collected and curated the data? Is it the NHS as a whole, or is it a separate body that has been set up by the NHS? For example, the idea of a sovereign health fund has been proposed and discussed in Parliament. However, despite on who gets the money, one of the things that is really crucial and to be mindful of is creating more inequalities in geographies. Healthcare organisations that are already more advanced in terms of data collection and curation and forming these partnerships will likely benefit most for any investment that's made nationally, and this may leave others behind in terms of future investment and creating more inequalities. So what can we do to ensure that the NHS captures the financial value of its data? So there needs to be a comprehensive policy developed to ensure that the NHS captures fair financial value from its data, along with the introduction of an offering of decision support tools for NHS organisations who are entering into these data sharing partnerships. At present, this is already happening, but actually there's no expertise or there's no kind of centre of expertise where people can go to get more of this information. One of the big things is, since the 2017 WannaCry attack, and then in 2018 there was the kind of Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal, the percentage of public in favour of data sharing with technology companies for research purposes has dropped. And this is a survey that we did last year, and this was a YouGov survey that was done between the US and the UK, and you can see certainly people wanting to share data with their kind of healthcare providers, their doctors, is, you know, in the UK much higher, but, you know, when you come down to sharing with any technology companies, whether it's for health or commercial purposes or any kind of commercial company, it's very, very low. And that was both across the US and the UK. In fact, people trust pharma more than they would trust tech companies. So for the public to trust the NHS needs to be trustworthy and operate transparently and respectfully of patients' privacy and public sentiment on data sharing. And this needs to be done in accordance with all applicable data protection laws. This is certainly an issue that's going to get progressively more complex. As an example, last month in the US, a new partnership was announced between Google and Extension Health. And this involved the transfer of 50 million patient records, apparently without patient consent. This raises lots of ethical and regulatory questions. However, as the NHS, we need to prioritise the interests of NHS patients and ensure when sharing data, there's a significant potential to generate patient benefit, but also we need to be very, very mindful of ensuring privacy, ethics, and security of all this data. Thank you.